Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Love you, pastors. Well, we do in New Zealand, and it's true. We just love what God is doing here. We're here because of them. I've got to be honest, because we believe in their genuine heart, and I love what he said before, we're here to build you. Around about 4 years ago, I was having some time with God, and I felt like the Holy Spirit say, Paul, you often feel inadequate. You often feel like what I ask you to do, you can't do. And I said, all the time. But I kind of felt like he was just whispering the heart of the Father. He said, but you get over that hesitancy and over that fear and over that insecurity, and if you're asked to do it, you go, all right, God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. 27 years ago, we left Australia, went to New Zealand with 3 kids under 5 to start a church that we didn't feel capable of doing. But we said yes, and it was kind of like, so when you hear from God, you say yes, and you put your hands on the steering wheel. But 4 years ago, it was like the Holy Spirit said, I want you to let go of the steering wheel. Because now that you've developed your ability to do it, you are beginning to do it on your own. And so it's kind of like the picture I got is in the old days, that's where I come from, I'll be 60 this year. You went for your driving lesson and there was a 2 sets of brakes in the car. And they didn't have automatics in those days. So there was 2 clutches, one on either side. So the person that was giving you the lesson could apply the brake at any point. There were even some cars with 2 steering wheels. And they would take over if you were about to have an accident. And it was kind of like God was saying, I want to take the steering wheel, but I'm going, but God, I've just had to work through my fear and now I'll do whatever you want. He says, just leave it to me. And in the last 4 years, in our ministry there at Life, we have seen exponential things happen because God is beginning to show us that He needs to have seasons where He gives us the responsibility to do our part. And then there are seasons where He says, now I want you to watch what I can do. Because this is a relationship and this is a partnership and this is a season that I want to take you to. And if you wanted a title for the message this morning, I would put it like this. Worship is where we win. That actually, God is saying there is a time to suck on the regulator of your own gifting and strength and your empowerment. But then there is a time where you are to take divine oxygen and watch what God could do. And in the last 4 years, we have seen our church just incredibly. In fact, we've built 3 brand new campuses in 4 years. We have spent in excess of $100 million on those campuses. This is in little New Zealand, where 27 years ago when we started, nobody in the church would handle anybody talking about money, talking about leadership, talking about a vision that could change a city. It's kind of like, I just want to rock up and have no problems. And yet, you, in our hearts, it was like, that's not what Christianity is all about. It's about this enormous, mighty, powerful God that when He's allowed to bring His breath, when He's allowed to be worshipped, when He's being allowed to be lifted above circumstances, miracles can happen. I was just telling Pastor Richard, we're seeing now on an average over the weekend of more than 100 decision cards being filled out. This year alone, we will do more than $9.5 million worth of community impact work. Last year, we worked with 380 community agencies in Auckland. And there is something that's beginning to rise in New Zealand, and we can't take the credit, although we are willing when God says, you take the steering wheel, and we feel inadequate. But I'm learning equally to be willing to go, well, God, if you want it, I'll be a passenger. And I got to say, the last 4 years, we've seen more than we've ever could have imagined. You know, this, I asked Pastor Richard, what's the theme and for this year? It's like, never without you. Isn't it amazing when you're gifted how quickly you can do it without? And it's a challenge because God wants to bring us back to realizing that effectiveness comes out of core values, core strengths. In fact, everything about the kingdom is based on kingdom values. The markers and worship is one of those. In fact, I find there are a lot of people in church today, they might sing the songs, but if they're honest, they're not really free. And I've come to discover that kingdom values enable personal freedom. And one of the greatest values that the Bible presents is that God is worthy of worship. And as we lift Him, there is a release of this divine oxygen that begins to turn things around. And God is looking not just for His church to believe His word, but to align their lives and to become people that go, you know what, right now I don't feel like worshiping and my circumstances don't talk about worship, but I'm going to lift my heart, my voice, my life, my circumstance on this Sunday morning, and I'm believing the power of God to turn things around. See, I think too many of us carry a God belief but live outside of the lines of the heartbeat rhythms of how the kingdom works. That God is looking for us not just to sing songs or to be inactive, but to agree with His word, but also align our lives with it and to become a worshiper. And a couple of thoughts. I want to give you three thoughts today about this whole concept that worship is where we win. And the first is this, is that worship establishes honor. I think sometimes we worship when we feel like we've got something to worship about. But I want to suggest that I've had to learn that I honor God as God. And worship is where I step into that place where it's like, no matter what's going on, I'm just going to elevate who God is. If you go to Genesis 22, you'll read the story of Abraham and Isaac and how Abraham and Sarah had fought for the promise of a son. The son never came. And then finally, Isaac came. And as a young teenager, God says, okay, Abraham, I want Isaac. It's like, what do you mean? We've spent our whole life wanting this miracle and now you want him? I mean, that night, I'm sure Abraham didn't sleep a wink. He didn't talk to Sarah about it. It just says early the next morning, he went with Isaac, the fire in the wood. And it says in verse 4, the third day on his journey, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the place that God had said afar off. And Abraham said to those that were with him carrying the supplies, the young men, you guys stay here with the donkey. Listen to this. The lad Isaac and I will go up yonder and worship. I want to tell you, your victory is not the altar call. That's the place where you begin to get some adjustment so that you can walk out and go, and God wants Isaac. Isaac doesn't even know it. But I want you to know that God's bigger than anything because I'm going to suck on divine oxygen. I'm going to begin to lift up my worship because worship is where we win. And I'm going to begin to say, we're coming back and we will worship and we're going to come back to you. In other words, Abraham had this understanding, I live under the authority of Yahweh. It's kind of like if God wants it, then God can raise the dead. God can do the impossible. I think sometimes in our church, because I'm just going there, I'm just going to be like a dad in the house. We got too much negotiation going on with God. Well, God, if you do that, then I'll be a better little Christian. You know what? Sometimes God says, I don't need to do nothing. I love you, but I'm God. Would you just worship? Because as you lift me, it releases, come on, the authority of heaven. And God always knows best. He's our designer. You know, I love this in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Those that honor me, God said, I will honor. And I think sometimes we're not breaking through. We're not breaking out. Because our response to God is based on circumstance, not on honor. And worship is what focuses who God is. I remember as a teen sitting there in a service and I was going through some tough times as a teen and all my friends were kind of leaving youth group and I was kind of thinking, I've been in church my whole life. Yeah, I felt the presence of God, but man, pretty tempting just to leave it all. And I remember sitting in the service one day And whoever was preaching was preaching. And I just said, well, God, if you are God, then you're worth everything. That decision as a teenager means I'm standing here today. It's not like I'm negotiating. If I get what I want, then you're going to be God in my life. I am God, says God. I want you to honor me. Yeah, but I don't feel like honoring. No, God has so much that he wants us to step into. I love 1 Chronicles 16:25. This is what the Bible says, for the Lord is great and he is greatly to be praised. We don't like teaching this sort of stuff these days. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of this people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his house. Losing your strength, losing your joy. I wonder where the honor is. And then it says, give to the Lord, O families and peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Do you realize that I determine the level of strength that belongs to God that comes my way? See, I don't change God. You can't add to God. You can't take from God. But I can release glory and strength my way as I begin to honor and give to him. Give to the Lord glory that is due to his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Here, listen to this. Tremble before him. When was the last time? It's like, oh, flip. Come on. It's like, oh, God's my bro. God's my mate. She'll be right. It's like, no, God's God.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. Where is God in the pecking order? Oh, well, God's God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't have any other idols. I got no stone carvings in my place. No, your idol could be your own security. Your idol might be what you can't work out with your natural mind. Your idol could be the current circumstances. I wonder who we're bowing to today. See, the thought is very much this, is when we elevate God to his rightful place, we deny the enemy the foundation of attack. And I've just began to realize again over these last 4 years, we're just saying, well, God, we're here to worship. We haven't prayed like we've been praying. We haven't fasted like we've been fasting, and doors are opening. Our major building, the council, Auckland Council said, on our watch, it will never happen on this site. That's where we began. They said it will never happen. Only 14 months later, we had an unconditional resource consent. And today we've been able to build that building in its entirety. And it's kind of like, well, how do you do that? Come on. You suck on some different oxygen. You got to let go of the security of the regulator that you know. Are you hearing me? Yes. Worship establishes honor. And that's why the enemy doesn't want you to worship. The second thing about worship is that worship strengthens self-surrender. Anybody in Australia got a problem with self? Come on, self is something that we all have. Self wants to take charge. Self wants to be secure. Self wants to be in the driving seat. And there's this battle going on with self. But the truth is we all end up bowing down to who we worship. And as we begin to worship God, then we strengthen self-surrender. Self begins to lose its hold. Worship has always been contended for. If you do any Bible reading of the Old Testament, you'll read about Lucifer, who was one of the three top angels with God. He was in charge of bringing worship. And as you read it in Isaiah 14, 12, he allows his self-worship to grow beyond where it should be. And he didn't honor God. He began to honor himself. Verse 12, how are you fallen, O heaven, O Lucifer? You're the son of the morning. How is it that you are now cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? This is how it happened, for you said in your heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Five times. I will. Yeah, Pastor, I'm in if I want to be in. Come on, God's got this church together not just to have a nice service on a Sunday morning. And you go, yeah, but I'm so busy. Well, how much I will is there in your life? As long as I get to make the decision, that's what happened in New Zealand 27 years ago. I had so many people say, oh, we're happy to do it as long as we're not told we need to do it. I said, well, I feel like God, every time I get with him, is telling me stuff I need to do. Come on, it's time. You want the breakthrough of the divine? It's like you can't fix a lot of your own problems. I can't fix. And self says, oh, leave it to me. Oh, as long as I can control the fallout, it's going to be okay. And I think today there is, even within the church, a rising of self-worship. It's like, look at us, we're doing okay. Now, we share great outcomes to inspire others. But just read this again, Romans 1:20. You realize since the creation of the world, God has shown his invisible qualities. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. They are understood from what has been made so that everybody today has no more excuses. If you stop and look at creation, it's not just two atoms that randomly happened. And it's kind of like the beauty of everything. This is the only planet in the solar system we know that we can live unaided. It's like God designed it all, and yet we don't want to believe in a God. We just want to make our own mind about what we believe. Verse 22, talking about humanity, although they claim to be wise, they've become fools. They've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Listen, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. See, Lucifer fell because he wanted to be worshipped. Hey, listen to me. I'm going to say something a little bit sensitive. You look at creation, it tells you there is a God. You dive beneath the water, it tells you there's a God. You look at every ant and understand that in its molecule makeup, it's different to every other ant. And it all just happened by chance. And we want to teach our kids that you're just a random atom with no real value. You're just another animal. And God says, no, I created this world to show you you were created in the image of God, and in the image of God you were created. And see, when I was a kid, it was like, no, there's no creator. We were taught Darwin's theory. Everything is just evolved. It's just all evolution. So our premise of understanding about who we are was based on science. The thing we didn't realize, it's science that's made with a limited mind. I've got nothing against science. God has got, again, even in creation, the ability for things to evolve. But you can't remove the creator from the creation unless you are honoring self. Today in our schools, we're not being taught that science is the basis of who we are. We're being taught self is the basis of who you are. You are who you are because that's who you are. So what you are, you decide. And we won't even allow science to come into it. That's where it's going. So if you were created that way, that doesn't mean you're that way. Come on. I'm not here to make people mad. I'm just saying, if you take God and worship and honor of who he is, then self will begin to rise. And with self comes anarchy because there is no dividing lines. Jack Hayford, one of the great Bible teachers in America, said this: worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshipped. So whatever you worship, you'll end up becoming like. And it's like in the church, let's not. We're not here to be known for what we're against, but we are here to be known that we are for the creator of the universe. Come on, the Alpha and the Omega, the God of all glory. And I think sometimes, you know, we're drifting, we don't even realize it. And self now is leading us. Well, if I feel like it, I'll do it. Why don't you put that idol aside? Why don't you say, if it needs to be done, we're in. Come on. Aren't you thankful I'm not your pastor here every Sunday? But again, as we heard this morning, if you hear this, it could change things. Worship
brings the breakthrough of heaven. Remember, there were two gardens. There was the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was before he went to the cross. And there was the Garden of Eden, and both of the gardens had surrender. Jesus took on all of humanity's sin, past, present, and future. He didn't know what that would be like. And as he took your sin and my sin, he goes, Father, I can't do this. I can't live separated. But what did he say in Gethsemane? He said, but not my will. Well, that's controversial today. Not my self-will, but yours be done. Come on, I want to speak into everybody here. Just, you have a right not to be against people, to judge other people, but stand up. Not my will, but we live by the design of the Creator. We are not going to worship the creation over the Creator. We're going to lift that up. Not my will. Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. Adam and Eve in Eden, not your will, but mine. And that's why Jesus righted the wrong in the second garden. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. Samuel 22, 21. God made my life complete. Looking for completion? Come on. Looking for freedom and hope and strength. It happened when I placed all the pieces before him, my misunderstandings, my feelings, my disappointments, my inability to work it all out. I just laid it all down. Verse 25, God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. You know, I'm prophesying today, your future doesn't have to be even a reflection of your past. But you're going to have to worship, because worship is where we win. Come on. You know, I ask Isaac to come and join me. The final thought about worship is that worship establishes honor and it strengthens self-surrender, but it also releases divine authority. And as one of the dads in the faith, let me just say, if you're perturbed about what's happening in our society today, don't ever forget that nothing takes God by surprise. We don't fight the way the enemy fights. What we do is we fight not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. So how do we do that? We worship. But Pastor, my marriage it's been tough for so long. I don't know if it's ever going to change. And it's like, just why don't you worship? Yeah, but I don't feel like it because a lot of it's their problem. Well, that sounds the same thing. Worship God, that enables you to begin, come on, to honor and worship each other. And that release of the divine authority, I tell you, I don't want to be a part of a church that just sits on a little street corner and has a few lights and has a great vibe and good coffee. I want to be a part of a church that whether you love the church or you despise the church, you can't sidestep it. We've just been approached by the New Zealand government to look at reforming all of foster care in New Zealand. Because we're saying a safe bed for a kid is not enough. Kids have to undo the tangle of what's gone on before if they're going to have a future. And it's like, well, could you do that? We believe we can. Well, here's some money and we'll see if you can. Come on, some of you've just been going around and you don't even realize, but you've made your disappointment. You've made what's not happening your God. You've allowed your feelings to dictate your life, and God's saying, would you let go of that regulator? And would you let me take the steering? Yeah, but what if you don't do it the way I want you to do it? That's what has to happen. Because I want to take you on a road you haven't been on before. By the way, doubt is a finite perspective incapable of understanding infinite reality. I said a long time ago, I don't have a brain that's big enough for God. Are you hearing me? So I'm teaching our students just recently, and they get me once or twice a year, sometimes more if I'm around, but
And I said, I don't want to come and preach. You hear me preach every Sunday and got lots of great lecturers. Ask me any question you want. I don't guarantee I'll answer it because I don't know everything. One of the students says, can I ask you a question? Yeah, go for it. So do you ever feel like not going to church on Sunday? I go, heck yeah. If the weather's calm, fish are biting, why would I want to go to church with all those negative Christians? I didn't say that, but heck yeah. And I'm praying all the time, how do I answer this? And this is what comes into me, my heart. Here's how I answer your question. You don't have to come or keep coming up with the answers if you remove the question. Some of us need to remove the question because our finite brain will never be able to resolve it until eternity and say we live according to God's word. And that releases divine authority. Hey guys, Matthew 16. Who's everybody saying that I, the Son of Man, am? Who are they saying that I? Oh, some are saying you're Elijah. Some are saying you're a good bloke. You're a run-to person at Easter. You're somebody that can fix up damaged things. You even bring healing sometimes. It's amazing. And then Jesus said, stop. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter says, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You always were. He said, you didn't work that out with your own brain. You didn't have experiences that helped you put that together. My Father, which is in heaven, gave that to you. And on this rock, that revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell have no authority left now. So stop fighting with natural oxygen. Put the steering wheel back into my hand. And whatever you loose on earth will be like it's already loosed in heaven. And to be honest, if you've been in church a long time, it's easy just to get used to living outside of divine authority. Our degree of human dependence, I believe, determines the degree of divine authority. And I think God is saying, come on, let this be a year where it's all about Him. In your business, stop just using your own smarts. Come on, in your family, stop you in the world we're in. Stop trying to work it all out. Just begin to worship. Paul and Silas, they're in prison. You know the story, Acts 16, and it's like, oh, it's not fair. What are we doing here? We didn't do nothing wrong. Look at all of these robbers and murderers all around us, rats running over us. Midnight. They look at each other and they go, what are we going to do? Well, I reckon we've got to sing. Remember that message that Kiwi guy, Paul, spoke about worshiping? Maybe we just got to worship. We got to start declaring our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher. And so we're going to begin to worship and we're going to begin to lift it and we're going to begin. Because worship is our way through. It's like we're going to do it. And so they begin to worship and they sing louder and some of the other ones around them hear one or two songs and next time around they join in with a word or two and then suddenly there was an earthquake. Hey, listen, I hope you catch my spirit. You are not on planet Earth just to survive. Live another week. Not have the crisis of the person next to you. You are here to see the kingdom of heaven open and the power of God to come down. And I love it because, come on, the rest of the band, you better come and help us because these guys are not getting warmed up yet. It's kind of like, you know, suddenly the earth shook. Come on. Well, we've got a long way to go in Auckland, I tell you. But people are coming on to what's happening. They go, wow, you mean this is a church? All the stuff you're doing, we hear about that all over the place. 21,000 Christmas boxes last year, helping people, families in need. This year we're going to do 30,000. We're shooting for 100,000 now because we reckon there's that much need. Wow. It's kind of like, no, we're going to be the center of it all. But we're going to worship. It releases divine authority. Amen. You know what happened? Chains came off. Yeah. Hey, some of us have had the chains broken off, but the shackles still. And the enemy reminds us that we're not completely free. Worship your way out. And not only, come on, not only, Listen to me. Not only did they get free, but every prisoner in the area of the airport in Melbourne and all over east, west, north, south, central. It's kind of like, what? What's happening? I don't deserve this. Somebody was worshiping. Somebody in the middle was lifted. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, give God a praise if you're going to praise Him. Somebody was taking the authority. Somebody was lifting your voice.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.